92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. It's the Monica Jay Show, live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada and the surrounding areas, even into California. Whatever you want to talk about. One of the big issues that we've always been going over, though, from day one, is homeless. People drug addicted, on the streets, people with mental illness. What's going on in our community? We're turning into San Francisco. We appease people. We give junkies clean needles so they don't get infected. We give people food. We try to give them housing. We try. Yet the problem just keeps getting worse. 884-9910. You know that's the number to call if you want to participate in this conversation. And you can always email me at monica@991fmtalk.com. But I got tired of all the blame going to Volunteers of America and to our shelter downtown because, well, the city points the finger at the county points the finger at the city. They both point the finger at Volunteers of America. People point the fingers at the federal government and regulations, and it's just mind-boggling. And it's mind-boggling what you hear out on the streets. I was told this gentleman wasn't in charge anymore, so I didn't contact him. I was told to contact someone else. I thought, you know, no. I've known Pat Cashel for a long time, and we've had a lot of good discussions, especially about drugs and how his life started and started on a bad path and how he turned his life around. He turned it around. Not his family. Not his friends. He turned it around. So I knew something had to be going on there. So I contacted Pat. And guess who's here with me now? Pat Cashel.
How are you doing?
The regional director.
Is my mic on?
Yes, your mic is on.
Oh, it
on.
Is. I can hear myself in here.
Well, then you turn your headphones up.
Oh, okay. I'll do that.
That's what that little knobby is over on
oh,
the
there
corner.
Oh, there it is. Oh, I got you.
Hi.
Oh, wow. Technology.
See, technology. Yeah. I wouldn't cut you
so
out
simple.
Of the conversation. I was really hoping that you were going to bring a special guest with you, and I hope he still shows up. Because
I'll
I've
get
been,
him in here.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I've been
you,
dying
yeah.
to meet this gentleman, and let's talk about you, though.
I like what you said, that I did this, and give credit to, like, you know, my mom and my dad and my family mm-hmm. for helping me stay clean and put me on the right path. And they did it through surrounding me with love and kindness and forgiveness. And I'll get a little choked up here.
Yeah, because at one point your dad said, "That's it, no more."
He told me he wishes I was dead. He said I'd be better off if I were dead and that my dad could actually go and mourn the loss of me. So, and that I'd caused so much chaos and havoc in his life that it would just be easier if I was gone. So, but I got to tell you, and a lot of people don't give themselves credit for pulling themselves out of this. And I'm not patting myself on the back or anything like that, but I tell everybody in recovery, you got to realize it takes strength to get to where you are. Mm-hmm. If you're in recovery, look in that mirror and tell yourself, thank you. Because at the end of the day, I mean, you can have all the rooms of AA, you can have all of these rehabs and special groups and doctors and all, just you can have everything. But at the end of the day, you got to go home and sit with yourself.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, meetings are an hour long. You got 23 hours of the day to sit with yourself and figure out what to do with that. And the fact that you chose to stay clean and sober takes incredible, incredible strength, and be proud of yourself and so I'm thank you for saying that, because at the end of the day, as much as I love my family and my friends, it all helped me, and I'm so grateful. At the end of the day, I'm the one that had to put in that hard work to get to where I am today.
Well, and you talk about that 1 hour. If you're homeless, those hours just seem to stretch into
even longer than that. So when I first took over the shelter, you know, when I was homeless in my addiction, I was able to numb out from being homeless, or, you know, and the only thing I really mattered to me was that bag of dope. And so so when I took over the shelter for 3 days, I went out and I got a sleeping bag and went and pitched a little camp with some other homeless individuals. And I wanted to see what it was like to experience it clean and sober and really face it head on and see what everyone like was really experiencing on the street. And in those 3 days, like you just said, it seemed like a year. And it was just I wandered the streets. You know, and I was lucky I picked a warmer time of the year. So it wasn't, I could have made things a lot worse for myself, but, you know, I slept on the streets in the sleeping bag and chose to sleep with a group of guys that had a dog. So I felt somewhat protected when I fell asleep at night, mm-hmm. that nothing was going to happen. But, during the day, I just wandered the streets aimlessly, and it's almost, you almost feel like you have, even though I wasn't truly homeless and I know I got to go home in 3 days. And I'm not going to lie, I actually did cheat on my little, during the 3 day process, my girlfriend met me on a street corner and brought me a hamburger. So, so I knew I had those backups. I knew I had a cushion, you know, yeah. something or soft to land after 3 days. I felt, hopeless and that's what our population is feeling out there on the streets is hopelessness.
So, Pat, there's a lot of blame going around. You know, it's the blame game.
I don't know if I totally agree with that.
Well, the responses I get.
No, I try. But some of the responses you got was I wasn't even running the shelters anymore. So,
yeah,
that's
true. But you know, I ask people at the city, you know, what's the problem, and they'll say people in the county. I ask people with the county, they say, well, it's the city, it's these people running it.
See, I'm in the middle of that, and I don't hear that. I see a community. That when I first got at the shelters 5 years ago, I saw that. But the current there is a little bit of that going on, but not to what the extent that it was 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I actually see a community that's working better now than they ever have to end homelessness. And when I say end homelessness, I just mean we'll never end homelessness. When I first took over the shelters, I'm like, I'm going to go out there and save the day, and I'm going to end homelessness, and there will. In a year, you'll never see another homeless person on the street again. Mm-hmm. No, it's not going to happen. Just it's not going to happen. So some people choose this way of life. And so some people have been so traumatized that the strength it takes to pull themselves out of this is just insurmountable and too much. But I see a community. I see the county working more. I see the county and both city of Reno and city of Sparks working together more so and better than they ever have in the past.
Okay.
So.
Are the numbers of homeless growing?
Yes. Absolutely.
Why do you think that is?
The obvious are rising rents. And I mean, just because we have a great economy doesn't mean that we have enough housing for our homeless or for our and I've always got to be mindful because a lot of people don't like to be labeled homeless, and I've been told to stop calling them homeless. So,
what have you been told to call them?
Individuals without a house.
Okay.
So, that's what I've been asked. So,
okay.
So I want to be respectful of everybody out there because of how they look at this, and I don't like labels myself. Like, I don't consider myself a person in recovery or a former drug addict. That's just a chapter in my life, and I refuse to let that define me any further.
So. What comprises the people at the shelter and the people living on the streets of Reno, Sparks, and Northern Nevada?
What do you mean comprises? Like what's the makeup?
What is the makeup? What is the issue?
There is no one issue.
The rents? Is it the drug addiction? Is it the mental illness? Is it the just I don't want to be a part of society? What do you see it as?
Every bit of that. That's why there's not one. This isn't a one size fits all kind of answer. There's like that's why you need every. That's why we have so many different providers in our community doing individual things. People like to say, "Oh, we're stuck in our silos and all that." Well, no, you're just. It's like the way the medical profession's gone. You know, there used to be just one doctor you went and saw. Now they're specialists. And there's specialists in our field that are doing individual things. You know, everyone likes to think that VOA and the homeless shelter is the end all to homelessness. Like, and for a long time we got blamed for everything. Like even like
we're still getting blamed for everything.
Well, that doesn't bother me because I know the work we do, and I know the work we do is friggin' amazing, and I know I have the best employees with the biggest hearts in the world, and I'll do everything I can. And if we screw up, I'll admit we screwed up. I'll tell you, we could have done a better job in that situation. But for the most part, I think we do a really, really good friggin' job. And those critics out there, well, then why don't you come down to the shelter and spend a day in the life? Not just one day, but you come spend a 40-hour week down there and experience what we experience and experience human suffering the way we experience human suffering. And you tell me that we don't do a good job and that I don't have the best employees and they're not doing. My brother came to visit me one day and he left there and he's extremely successful and he's my hero and I look up to him. And when he left there with a tear in his eye, looking at those kids and looking at those homeless individuals. And he said, "You guys are doing the most important work that is being done in our community."
Then where are we falling short?
We're not addressing the actual issue. We're like the worst thing that ever happened in our society, and everyone thinks he's such a wonderful president, and maybe he was a wonderful president. We had a booming economy, but during the Reagan era and even up and before, I can't totally blame it on President Reagan, but we shut down the mental health institutions because they were inhumane. Well, if they were inhumane, then we should have fixed the problem. We shouldn't have just, it's like it's saying that prisons are inhumane, so we're going to shut down the doors of the prison. We're just going to release them to the streets.
It's
a proven fact that when we shut down the federally funded mental health institutions and give that all to the municipalities and the cities and the counties to take over, which did not have the funding to do it. Mm-hmm. Mass murders went through the roof. Robberies went through the roof. Domestic violence went through the roof. Assaults went through the roof. Everything went through the roof. It's a proven fact. So if you want to tell me that Reagan's such a great president, he made the one biggest mistake that's ever been made by any president in the history of the United States.
Yeah. And it hasn't been corrected.
Absolutely not. And when you go and they start talking budgets and where we're going to cut money, where's the first thing they cut is from mental health and social services and stuff like that. And it's appalling. And until you talk about what are we going to do to solve this issue, until we make major, major sacrifices in our communities and it starts in your community until, you know, and I have nothing against building billion-dollar football stadiums and that spurs growth and it supports economic growth. And I think that's all wonderful. And I love football and I love watching it. And I can't wait to go see a Raider game at the new stadium. But if we're going to spend that kind of money on stuff like that, why can't we take a fraction of that and spend it on something that helps mankind and human beings? If we're going to get rid of the label of homelessness or individuals without homes, let's just call them human beings because that's what they are.
Yeah. So. Stick around. I've got more with Pat Cashel, the regional director of the shelter here in Northern Nevada. We will be right back on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Please call us 884-9910 if you have a question or a concern. It's all about what you have to say on the Monica Jay Show. Thanks for being here. I feel like shaking my hip and pouting and blah, blah, blah. 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. It is your live and local FM talk show dealing with the problems that need to be dealt with. And it's not about the money. It's about being realistic. 884-9910. If you would like to call in and ask Pat Cashel a question about our homeless center here in Reno or with what's going on in the homeless community or the drug addiction community or the mental health community, this is your time to do it. Pat's busy. I mean, he's trying to make a difference, and so I can't always get him to come in at the drop of a hat. So please, if you got a question, get it in now. Pat,
yes, ma'am.
Is there any way to lighten the load? Are we just not being honest enough to say that there are people with hardcore mental issues that they need to just be taken care of for the rest of their life?
And absolutely,
if you don't want to use the term institution or asylum or you know, whatever.
Call it whatever you want. There's absolutely people out there. I see them every day that cannot take care of themselves. It's just a fact. I mean, if you think I'm like labeling or being mean, I'm not. It's just a fact. And that's what I want to be today, is real and factual and like, and let me preface this. My, you know, I don't have a formal education. My formal education is in hospitality management and casinos, and I don't have a degree in psychology or running homeless shelters.
Hospitality management is dealing with people.
No, absolutely. Oh, no, trust me. I hold you know, a lot of people say, oh, those shelters are dirty and disgusting. Now you have a director down there that grew up in the hospitality business that, you know, just because you're an unsheltered individual, homeless individual, however you want to label it, I call you a human being, doesn't mean you deserve any less of really nice treatment than say you or I do. Mm-hmm. So if you come to the shelter, I like 5-star. Well, I'm going to make it as 5-star a shelter as I possibly can, because even if you're at the shelter, you deserve that. You deserve
it. Is it full?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I have people waiting at night, 60 people, like last night, 60 people in our warming room. So when one bed comes open, I go in that warming room and I pick someone out of the warming room that is on a list. And I'm like, you're up. Here's your bed. Absolutely. At night, I have 5 beds that I save for for Reno PD in case they're out on the streets and they find someone. And so those beds are saved up until midnight. After midnight, they're released to anybody that would like a bed. Oh, we have a phone call?
We have them lined up.
Get out of here. I had a radio show. I never got a phone call.
This is an important issue to everybody here in Northern Nevada, and they don't see it being taken care of.
Well, I'm glad people are talking about it. That's all I care about.
Oh, they definitely are. Let's go to the phones and check in with Joe. Hi, Joe. What would you like to ask Pat?
Hello. Hello. Good morning. And it's awesome to hear somebody that's made it through recovery and helping the homeless, indeed.
Thank you
so much for your aid. I'm currently Nevada, from Hawaii via California. I've been a houseless person or a person without a shelter for 2.5 years. Would say that was my choice, but it's not necessarily real. Rate is insane. Rates of rent and jobs aren't always as easy to get when you don't have an address. And so there's this slightly a discrimination. My question is how... I'm still currently houseless, but I'm sheltered somewhat in a mobile situation. How could I go about coming up there and volunteering some of my time and just meeting some more people in your state, in your area, and you in particular? Because I think that I could contribute something here to your cause.
Absolutely. You come down to the shelter, 335 Record Street, Reno, Nevada. I'm there all the time, usually 7 days a week. Don't come this Wednesday because I actually gave myself a little time off and I'm going to go enjoy myself in Mexico.
For one day?
No, I'm going to be there for 4 days. So it's the first time I've taken a real...
Question is the Reno's homeless houseless population, that's a mix of people that have lost their homes and that are kind of in a self-sabotaging situation. Is that correct?
I don't want to say self-sabotaging, but I want to say we have individuals in our homeless, houseless population from all walks of life.
I can say this just for all the listeners and stuff, if I may.
Yeah.
I'm a street performer or a person of a great enthusiasm and optimism, and a lot of people don't believe I'm houseless or was an addict, and sadly I relapsed a few months ago, but I quit instantly. I don't think that people understand that there's the view of what people should look like or feel like as a houseless person are totally different in the individual per individual. And I've seen people lose their everything because their husband died or vice versa, live in BMWs.
Absolutely.
And just displaced from fires and you name it. And there are a lot of saboteurs out there that people that are out to get people's landscapes and homes and throw them and separate them from housing and their children. And it's a greater problem than people even want to address because some are even scared to speak. I've got friends that lost their minds and went crazy and are now, they were just awesome people last year, but they didn't have the constitution or even the brain power to fight off some of the sources that are attacking them personally, you know? And in person, I'll get more into it, but I honestly believe that there's enough room in the world for people to start building something more adequate and maybe even having some kind of job opportunities and paying people to do greater things. That's just give them a purpose and give people a chance, and you'll be surprised.
Absolutely. Yeah. It starts with kindness.
Yeah. Joe, thank you so much for the call. We greatly appreciate it. And
thank
that's something that I've never understood, Pat, is there are so many things that need to be done. As Joe had mentioned, a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even picking up trash along the river.
Yeah. We started the Arena Works program, which is you may or may not agree with. I've seen the benefits of it, and it's through work and giving back to your community, and that's what we employ people 3 days a week, and then we put them in school the other 2 days a week and classes and teach them and
it's a great program. But you see programs like that and you see the people that are willing to change and make that difference, yet there's still mounds and, you know, 80 cubic yards of trash just along the river area. Yeah. There's got to be something that
we're kind of faltering on that. I mean, we as a community need to address that.
All right. Anthony, hang on the line. We're going to be right back. We have to take a quick Fox News break, and we will be back with more from the regional director of the homeless shelter here on Record Street on the Monica Jay Show, 92.3 and 99 FM Talk.
Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour, 24/7. This is Northern Nevada's FM News Talk Radio, 99.1 KKFT. It's 11:30.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Pam Puso. Was it terrorism? A U.S. official tells the Associated Press that the shooting suspect at the U.S. Naval Base in Pensacola, Florida, was a Saudi aviation student. Three people were shot and killed, the shooter also dead.
Our hearts and prayers are connected to all those that serve us every day, and certainly the expectation that this would happen here at home was unexpected.
Pensacola Mayor Grover Robinson. The clock is ticking at the White House. By 5 p.m. Eastern, President Trump must decide if his legal team will cooperate with the remaining impeachment proceedings.
The president's decision on whether to take part in the process could affect the timing of a full House vote on impeachment. If he does participate, the proceedings could be extended into 2020.
Fox's John Decker, the House Judiciary Committee will spend the weekend drafting articles of impeachment. America's listening to Fox News.
I'm Amy Cherry. Your local news is brought to you by Carson Valley Oil. It's the weekend and you still have a need for fueling your fleet. Carson Valley Oil's card locks are open 24/7. Get itemized billing, keeping records complete, and monitor mileage, expense, and funds. Call Carson Valley Oil today at 887-7777. A man is charged in a summer hit-and-run in Reno. News 4 reports police handcuffed 77-year-old James Preston of Reno Wednesday. They say he intentionally struck a person in the crosswalk at West 7th Street and McCarran Boulevard in August and then fled the scene. The victim survived. It happened in October, but we're just now learning the name of a man killed in a fiery crash on Highway 50 outside Fallon. The coroner had to use DNA to identify 55-year-old William Fossey of Fallon. They say a van struck a cement truck being driven by Fossey. The truck then careened into a ditch and struck a light pole. A third man is arrested and charged as a co-conspirator in a kidnapping. William Peacock was arrested after Reno police say he was in possession of a truck that was stolen in a home invasion and robbery in Truckee earlier this year. He and the truck were found in Loveland, Colorado. Sierra Miller and Saul Zelaznog were previously arrested in the case. Nearly 24 Nevada firefighters are heading to the other side of the world to help with wildfires. They're being deployed to Australia for the next month to combat 100 fires burning across that country. From the Evans Broadcast Company, your local news, your local weather is coming up.
The newest twist in auto insurance, lowballing yourself. I'm Jim Jackson of Jackson & Farmer Auto Body. Insurance adjusters are rapidly disappearing. Your insurance company will tell you to save time and money. They want you to use their app. Send them photos of the damage and they'll write you a check. The problem is you aren't an insurance adjuster. So chances are you will overlook some hidden damage. That affects the way it all goes back together. You'll end up getting a lowball estimate for what they want to pay you for your repairs. Then if you get it done at a Speed Money shop, you'll get your car back worse than you had it before. Like I say, you can't fix stupid, but you can fix lowballing by bringing your vehicle to us. Let us take the photos and give you an accurate estimate for your claim. We'll fix it right Hidden damage, bent frames, you don't have to play the lowball game. Just bring your accident to us, Jackson and Farmer. We'll get your vehicle back to the way it was 2 seconds before the accident.
Once again, we're with Ricky Stebbins from Pro One Automotive. Ricky, why should you do preventative maintenance on your vehicle?
Well, it maintains the vehicle like it was new. You maximize your fuel economy, and you'll have a good, safe vehicle.
And is it true you must take your new car to the dealership for service?
No, as long as you follow the factory maintenance schedule and use the proper fluids, you should be fine.
I have another question. Why is your shop so clean?
Well, we've always been a really clean shop, and we just like working in a clean environment. We want to make sure that your vehicle stays clean, and we want to make sure it's nice and clean for our customers.
Hey, Ricky, thanks for stopping by and talking to us today. Remember, when it comes to automotive service, repair, and maintenance, think Pro One. Pro One Automotive at the corner of Mill and Terminal in Reno.
People run expert service. It's so hard to find. Pro One Automotive does it right the first time.
FM Top Weather.
Weather brought to you by REMAX agent Mary Jo Brummer and the Brummer Group. She listens, cares, and delivers. Call 721-5905. Partly cloudy skies today, highs in the mid-40s, down to the mid-30s overnight. Tomorrow and Sunday, rain and snow. Make sure to keep it here for Coast to Coast tonight at 10 on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
Got an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
I can't hear.
By
92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. It's the Monica J Show, live and local FM Talk at 884-9910. What's on your mind when it comes to the homeless issue right now? Pat Cashel, my guest, who is the regional director of our shelter with Volunteers of America, VOA also known as. Let's go back to the phone lines, Pat. I stopped taking selfies. Are you kidding? You're so proud of yourself. I'm proud of you as well.
I am proud of myself.
Let's go back to the phones and check in with Anthony this morning. Anthony, you have a question for Pat about the shelter?
This is Anthony Cohen.
Anthony, did we lose you?
Anthony Cohen, Q-L-A-N.
Yeah, no, Anthony, you're on the air with us right now.
I had to go through the family shelter with my daughter, and it was a great place. I felt safe there. And
I know Anthony. I know Anthony.
Yeah, I just want to say,
Anthony, I know you. I know you, buddy.
I know you do.
You're awesome. Thank you, man.
I appreciate that program.
Are you doing good?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
You're a rock star, man. That's awesome.
But that's all I got to say.
I'm so glad you called.
I just wanted to call and let you know. You know, I've been with you. I've been, you know, and I appreciate you. You know what I mean? I'm glad you're doing what you're doing.
We've known each other for a long time, buddy.
Yep, you're right.
We've known each other for a long time.
And I know if I ever needed a safe place to go with my daughter, I would go straight down there and get help again.
Right on. Thank you for saying that. Appreciate that.
Pat, what is...
Have a wonderful day.
What is... Thank you, Anthony. You too. What is the problem? Where are we failing people?
I don't know that we are. I don't know that we are failing people.
Well,
I mean,
failing people because there's hundreds of people living in tents along the river, in the parks. Homeless are taking over the parks as their own areas. Public, the public doesn't feel safe going into them.
I agree.
We are failing. How do we fix that?
Well, I mean, I'm all for a localized campground. I mean, we have campgrounds all over town anyway. Everyone's like, oh, we can't have a tent city again. And we had a really bad experience years ago with tent city because we had no rules, or we just said, oh,
you have to have rules.
You have to have rules in society. You have to. We have rules that a lot of people don't come to the shelters because we have rules. You have to follow rules, or else you have chaos and people get hurt, and you can't have that. And I want the shelters to be a place of change. So where are we failing in society? It all goes back to when we shut down the mental health institutions.
Okay.
So we need to bring those back. Like I said, we're spending billions of dollars on all this kind of fancy stuff. Or why can't we just spend a fraction of that and help those that struggle with mental health and drug addiction?
I asked that of Naomi Dewar. I said, you know, are we not prioritizing what needs to be taken care of first? You know,
a lot of stuff we do now are knee-jerk reactions, and they're just Band-Aids.
Yeah.
We're not thinking this out.
Well, I was thinking about, you know, why are we spending, you know, thousands upon thousands of dollars for art that gets destroyed and vandalized when we should be spending that money on the communities they have, like in Austin, Texas, and all over the country, actually, of the small huts or shacks for people in one location, villages.
I agree, and I think there's room for both. I don't think that everybody else should suffer because of some bad decisions that individuals have made or politicians have made. And when I say politicians, I refer back to President Reagan and shutting down the mental health institutions. I don't think we as a community, the hardworking taxpaying citizens, should not enjoy fine art and fancy football stadiums that we've worked our butts off to get here,
and
public parks, and we deserve that. But at the same time, I think there's room in our budgets to actually help the less fortunate in our society and our communities, and they deserve the help.
Yeah.
The stories I hear down at the shelter and from individuals and childhood trauma would make your skin crawl. And so individuals out there judging a person standing on a street corner or someone yelling at the sky, you should be ashamed of yourself, because I've heard those stories, what put them there. And they've been raped and molested and beaten, and they've been dealt the worst hand of cards since the day they were born.
But also, there's scammers out there, because the people on the street corners.
Am I here to decide which one's a scammer and which not, and make that error? I mean, and people ask me all the time, well, what if it's a scammer that's asking you for $5? That's not up to me. I'd rather err on the side that I'm doing something good for somebody than start judging somebody and say and trying to pick and decide which one's deserving and which one's not deserving. And if you're standing on a street corner, I don't know your story. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're going home to. You may be, I'd rather give someone $5 and hope that goes to maybe their rent that month and they have four kids at home and it's keeping a roof over their head. I'd like to think positive.
Well,
I don't want to think, you know, oh, I just gave $5 to some guy that just went and you know what? If I give $5 to somebody and they go buy a can of beer, that might be the difference to him being alive the next day where I can help him, or him committing suicide. And so I'm going to err on the fact that I'm going to try and think positive and think that my $5 went to something good.
And see, and that's where you're a better person than I am, because I think, you know, that people are taking advantage when I hear two people out here on this corner right here by the radio station arguing that this is their corner and this is the most money that they make in a day. And, you know, I see one of the people then doing a drug deal.
If you see that and know that, then you know not to give them money.
Yeah.
But don't let that jade you to where, like, every time you drive around town and you see someone, there's truly honest, like, there's people out there that need our help. And like I said, if you know that person's out there, then don't give them money.
Yeah.
But don't let that ruin you to where you're not
willing
to go.
No, it hasn't jaded me. I pulled up to somebody. Well, they weren't even asking for money.
Well, no, exactly.
And I gave them money because I could see their situation. So let's go back to the phone lines and check in with Ollie. Ollie, thanks for calling the show at 884-9910. What is your question about the shelter for Pat?
Okay, I am asking the question to Mr. Pat Cochelle. My question is, how do you expect to solve homeless problem when city is closing down motel on 4th Street generally? So I guess the only thing I want to know, that the population of homeless people are going up. So how is he going to solve it? And there's another question. Every time they close the motel, it's a safety issue. He knows it, that Reno Gazette General already said that homeless shelter is not safe either. So how can he operate the place and the motel owner cannot operate the motels? That's my question.
No. I beg to differ with you. The homeless shelter is a safe place. We are up to code. I've been into the motels that you're talking about, and I know exactly what you're talking about. And they are unsafe. They're extremely unsafe. They're dirty. And they should be held to a higher standard. And human beings deserve a better life than what the hotel owners in this town are providing right now.
Well, let me put it to you this way, that motel owner did not get $2.5 million from city to run the show.
You have a business that you're running and making really good money right now, charging people $800 a month for a room that had a 50 year life on it, and the building's pushing 100 years, and you haven't stuck a dime into it.
Yeah, but you got to understand, your father was a motel owner too in the past, and everything has
absolutely, and he kept his and he kept his hotels.
Let Ali finish his statement. Ali, yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, the thing is,
what was your statement?
Yeah, my statement is very simple. Is that when we start something, we become a slumlord, and the people who are coming out of town, they have no roots over here, and they're charging $1,000. So, whether you prefer to have a slumlord, at least you don't have a homeless problem. Now you have a very serious homeless problem in town. Before that, still problem was there, but it was not there. The problem was only exist in front of casino, like El Dorado kind of place. That's one of the reason your father moved a homeless shelter to over here. Now it's spread all over the place now.
Okay, Ali, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. And that was a question actually I had, Pat, and that is the Fourth Street. To me, it seems like the smaller hotels that did have reasonable rates that people could get into on a basis, you know, weekly or monthly, those are all disappearing.
Have you been in some of those motels? Have you actually? They may have had reasonable rates. There's a reason why they had reasonable rates, and you should be. A lot of the motel owners in our community should be ashamed of themselves for collecting the rents they do and maintaining the living standard. You ask me, talk about preying on our least vulnerable or some of the motel owners in our community.
But weren't they? But they're held to a standard of city codes, and I know that there's code living, enforcement.
And I think code enforcement needs to step up to the plate and enforce those codes and come down hard on these motel owners that are charging $800 a month rent for a place that's in some cases not even livable. So, and you talk about Jacobs Gaming coming in here and tearing down some of these motels. In a lot of situations, they've done us a favor and cleaned up 4th Street. And what they're doing down there needs to happen. It needs to be redone. So, and
because of those, and replaced and
absolutely,
put in its place.
Jacobs has gone above and beyond what they've needed to do to make sure that individuals. I get calls from them all the time asking help in relocating families and individuals into different living situations. Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, the living situation that they've replaced that individual with is far and above exceeds what they were living in from what they tore down.
So one of the questions that I had for you was back in 2017, a program was started for basically tiny homes. Mm-hmm. It was going to be a village. Yep. What has happened to that?
It's moving forward. Hopes is kicking butt and moving forward. And what stage is it at now? The property's been identified. I'd have to get to, you'd have to call Hopes to find out. I've stepped away from that one because we had another project that I was involved in that we took over, which is the Village at Sage Street. Mm-hmm. Which was a group here in Reno. It was an incredible community project. The city stepped up to the plate, gave us 5 acres of land. Some two major developers came in and identified a mining camp in Wyoming, and the community foundation went out and helped raise the funds to purchase these, and we trucked in 80 truckloads of a mining camp. And we rebuilt them with the help of Q&D Construction and individuals like Reno Green all came together and turned this into an incredible small apartment complex. There are 90 square or 100 square foot rooms that are fully furnished, and rents will never be more than $400 a month, ever.
And can multiple people stay in them?
They're individuals. They're too small. They're just single beds with a desk and a TV and a closet.
Okay.
Way too small.
That was one of the complaints. I was speaking with a formerly homeless woman, mm-hmm, who was on the streets when I did my river walk, and her issue was the fact that she was taking care of her permanently disabled son, mm-hmm, that she would have to care for the rest of her life, and then somebody would have to care for afterwards. And she wasn't able to have him with her because of one of these single living places. Will we see more coming in the future for people, multiple people?
And hopefully, because that's a population that needs to be served. So everyone says, well, why don't you allow pets to be at Sage Street? Well, that's not the population that serves. Like I said, it's not one size fits all. We need multiple. We need to go at every angle possible. And so now we need a Village at Sage Street that takes pets. Eventually, we need a Village at Sage Street that takes mothers with disabled sons and daughters. this isn't a one size fits all. So, because I don't think it's right that if you had a mom with a son that's disabled, and we're going to stick him into a 90 square foot room, that's not humane either. That's not really, I mean, just because you're houseless or struggling does not mean that you don't deserve the same quality of life that I experience. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense to me. So this isn't a one size fits all. We're not going to go solve everyone by curing their drug addiction. We're not going to solve this by curing everybody's housing problem. Some people don't want to live in houses.
Okay, so let's take John quickly before we go to a commercial break, and then we've got Bruce still hanging on the line as well, so stick around. John, what is your question for Pat?
Well, my question is, I've looked at this for many years, and what about buying farmland, putting buildings up there, similar to the way the internment camps were in the Second World War for the Japanese, and have them farm and grow their own crops, but also give them the ability to take a bus or a van to a local town or city or grocery store. And I've spent time in Calcutta, India, and places like that where homelessness is a tremendous problem. But people shouldn't, I don't think they should be given everything. I understand what the person on the line is saying, but they need to work for stuff too. And anyway, that's my view.
John, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate that, because you have to understand, internment camps, that, again, we get back to semantics. They were still camps. They were still, nicely built buildings.
Absolutely. And I don't disagree with John. I agree with John. And I agree with John with the fact that what he's just said, that people need to earn their way. It gives you a sense of purpose and pride and self-confidence. And when I started earning my way in life, it changed my life to where, I appreciated hard work. I appreciate the value of a dollar now. I appreciate a roof over my head because I earned it. For a long time in my life, I didn't earn those type of things. They were handed to me.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Bruce's question here at 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk at 884-9910. My guest today, Pat Cashel, who is the regional director of our homeless shelter here in Northern Nevada. We'll be right back after this. 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Talk lines aren't open anymore at 884-9910, but remember that for Monday, and we'll keep going. Bruce is on the line right now on the Monica Jay Show to ask Pat Cashel, who is my guest today, a question about the Reno Homeless Shelter. Bruce, what's your question?
Well, actually, Monica, it's not so much about the shelter. It's I'd like to hear what Pat's solution is to cleaning up the problem with the people that don't want help. They have chosen a lifestyle that they enjoy, and despite what it does to our community, our river, the parks, they don't care. I would like to know what his solution is for those folks.
For the folks that don't want help, that choose to live that way?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one, they shouldn't be allowed to live on the river. I just sat through a Tumwa presentation that would make your skin crawl, and that's where 85% of our drinking water comes from as a community.
Which is very disappointing, because the media, our news media, really downplayed that.
Yeah, well, it needs to be up. Everyone in this community should know what happened. I mean, the feces, the colostomy bags, the needles that they're pulling out of our filtration system. It questions whether or not, I know that Tumwa, it does an excellent job, and we've never had a violation, and our drinking water is safe, but it's very disturbing to me. What you do with those people along the river, that's a tough question. That's a tough answer.
Well, the reason I asked,
but I think it goes back to the tub.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Bruce.
The reason I asked, Pat, is because I've been down there along that river. I've been to these encampments, and I've talked to these people, and the majority of them do not want help. They want to be left alone to live in their shoes.
Then maybe we come up with an area 5 acres of a camp, and they get to live there. I mean, but it shouldn't be along our rivers. It shouldn't be in down in our downtown corridors.
The business districts.
It shouldn't be in the business districts and stuff like that.
Bruce, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. And that goes back to, I think, where we were talking with the locations that they feel comfortable, they can have an encampment, as long as there are rules.
There has to be rules.
That's the one thing that I didn't understand when I took the show down along the river, was there was still so much trash just compiling.
And we can't
have that.
We can't. And I, not only do I run the shelters and do I have the experience of being homeless myself, but I'm also, I work hard and I want to be able to go down and enjoy the river myself if I choose to.
Yeah.
And right now I don't feel comfortable doing that. And that's not right. And there's besides the individuals that don't have homes, there's also individuals that do have homes that have that right, that should have that right too, to go enjoy the river and the beautiful parts of our city.
All right. Pat Cashel, Regional Director of...
Can I come back soon?
You can come back.
I want more phone calls. Grant and I had a radio show. We never got a phone call. So I'm like, I love these phone calls.
Well, you didn't have a good host.
Grant's mom called one time.
I want to bring Grant back
because Grant's
want
in
you
a,
to bring Grant
what
back.
Grant Denton does in our community is
yes,
is
he is
priceless.
The founder of the Karma Boxes. If you don't recognize the name, and I think that's absolutely awesome. So I have to wrap up the show, and that is with the heartfelt invitation for you to come back, because
please.
I want you to come back and talk about the tiny home projects. And
we need to get Sharon here from Hopes.
The projects that people can donate to if they really want to see this problem solved and how they can be involved. It's all about the money.
Can I get one last thing?
Yes.
And if you're looking to give back during this holiday season, and we need it 365 days a year, but if you're one of those people that wants to give back, we need socks, we need gloves, we need hand warmers, we need beanies, all those things that we take for granted. We need those things, and it's not going to break the bank. And
Record Street. Just take them to the shelter or stick them in a karma box.
Yes.
It's the Monica J. Show. Have a great weekend. You know I love you all. We'll be back on Monday.